We're good. All right, speakers on this week. Okay. All right, go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to read the same verses that we've been reading the last 2 weeks because we're going to deal with the nature of man, and this is going to be the last message on that, part 3. We're going to try to help the man out a little bit today. The last 2 weeks haven't been good for man. We've read those verses, him being corrupt in his imagination, in his heart. And we're going to touch a few more of those verses, but then we're going to work our way up. Because as I described this morning, before we came on camera, that the progressive nature of the book of Romans, we can't leave man in the first 3 chapters there and just leave him condemned, right? God's given us some hope, right? Whereas we were a people at one time who had no hope, but God's given us some hope. So let us pray, and what we're going to do, we're going to look at this thing as a nature of man, and we're going to put our man back up here on the board, but then we're going to go progressively, and we're going to look at some stuff there in light of God, okay? We're going to show what God has done. So let us pray. Father, we're so grateful, so thankful for another day. We're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, for the Word of God rightly divided. We're so thankful for your Son, who died for our sins, was buried, raised again the 3rd day for our justification, the gospel of our salvation, that if anyone would believe on him, trust him and his work alone, you will save them. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. All the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and once it, amen. All right, so there in the book of Romans, go to 1 and then 17. For there in is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. All right? So, try not to be extremely redundant, but I do want us to see some things here that we talked about in the very first time that we did this. We talked about the spirit. We talked about the soul, right? And we talked about the flesh. And when you study the Bible about man, and you go back to Adam, and you start coming through the scriptures, you can see the thing with man, how when Adam passed that sin on to his own children, right, how that thing grows worse as you go through the Bible. It's man's not gotten better, okay? That's what the people out here and all these different carnal doctrines are trying to tell you. Man's getting better, but man's not getting better. He's still declining, right? So we said that the spirit here, this was God's conscience, and that's what God is going to impress upon you to begin with, and that is the spirit of your mind, all right? I know the salvation is a heart matter, okay? Something has to come in up here for this to get started, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then we said the soul here is the self-consciousness, which, when it denies God, it becomes selfish, right? It becomes all about me. And that's what they did. It became about them. The vanity of their minds. By the vanity of their minds, what happened? The heart got darkened, right? All right, and then we said the flesh here is world consciousness. That's the closest thing you have to earth, right? We're walking on it. We're in it. All right, so just to get that back in our minds here fresh as we start. So what we're going to show today is we're going to show a second man. Okay? It's vital that you get this. People go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and they hack up those verses. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Show you the way this was taught to me basically all my life from a child and up through the religious institutions that I joined myself to. Here's the way they handled these verses. We'll look at 5 and 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so what they do with that is they set and say that when you got saved, that all this stuff back here, the darkness of the heart, the darkness of the mind, your wicked ways, the struggle that you had in this world and this life, or the doing wrong, all that went away. Everything became new. Now, you no longer have these desires. You have a new desire. God took the old desire out of you, put a new desire in you. And what I'll say to that is that's contrary to Scripture. That's contrary to Scripture. That's not what happened to you. What happened to you when you went into Christ, there ends up now not being one of you, but there's two of you. Right? And in the Bible, folks, that two is known like this right here. Spirit and flesh. There's a face-off between spirit and flesh. You're going to deal with it every day of your life. God didn't save you out of trouble. He didn't save you out of bad habits. He saved your soul. Now you're going to make decisions about whether or not you're going to study that book, believe that book, walk according to that book, or are you going to continue to walk according to the flesh? Now that's Bible, and you can argue with me, but you're not going to win over the Bible. So look at Galatians chapter 5. Now, I know how they preach, man. I know what they say, and I heard it all my life. Faith without works is dead. So if you don't have good works, you don't have good faith. Hogwash. My faith is in Jesus Christ, Him dying on the cross, right? There's nothing I can do to unseal me, undo me, once I've been put into Christ. His work is what I am banking my salvation on, not mine. Okay? So if I decide out of a choice to walk after the flesh, that does not unsave me. Okay? Now there's people who claim to preach eternal security, and the way they get out of this stuff is saying, well, you walk into the flesh, you never had it. There's people saved walking according to the flesh. Most of the time, that preacher is walking according to the flesh. Why? Because he's trying to add works to your salvation. You see what I'm saying? That's a fleshly, carnal mind. So what I want you to understand is there's a face-off here between the spirit and the flesh. When you got saved, God left you in sinful flesh, and it's rotten. If you don't believe it is, go without a shower for about a week. You'll find out it's rotten flesh. He left you in that body of flesh, right? Also, there's two things now that can work in your mind, whereas before, only one worked in your mind, and that was you, your carnality, what you wanted to do, when you wanted to do it, how you wanted to do it. Now, because you've got some light, because you've believed the gospel of your salvation, you've got a choice to do what? I can bring in the things of the spirit, or I can bring in the things of the flesh. Who brings in all the spirit all the time? None of you, me included. Don't say you do. There's times when you're not bringing in all the things pertaining to the spirit, all the things that pertain to light. There's sometimes you bring stuff in. See, just because we can't see it, folks, don't mean it ain't real. Huh? See, what sin is to people is what they do. Can I tell you, you're not a sinner because you sin. Amen. You sin because that's the nature Adam gave you. Right? God just took all that away from me. Well, why would let's go skiing. We're all righteous and holy, and none of us sin, and none of us, let's just go, you know, it's not the way it happens. You came here because you've got a need. You want to continue to learn this book. But what you're not taught in most institutions is the struggle now that you're saved between these two men, the flesh and the spirit. And if you don't struggle like that, bless your heart. Pray for me, because I still do. I've got tools at my house that show you I struggle, right? Broken weed eaters, broken chainsaws, those type things. I get angry, right? And sometimes I sin out of anger, right? But what I want you to see is this. The stuff that people, we're going to Galatians here. The stuff that people teach you about salvation, and they base it on religious flesh, in the Gospels, Jesus Christ said that a man could sin without ever doing a physical act. Did he not? Huh? How did he say you could sin? In your heart? Anybody done that in here? Right? Sure you have. And we're not elevating sin. We're telling you it's wrong. Right? The problem you got is you can't quit. Oh, I did. No, you didn't. You just lied. That's a lie of sin. You did not. No man has ever quit sinning. There's only one that was sinless, and they put him on the cross. You got saved, you didn't quit sinning. Now, you may not sin like you used to, and pray to God you don't, right? You may not sin as harsh as you used to, but there's still sin in this dead flesh, right? We're not perfect. I know some believe they are, but they need to give it up. They're not. You got to understand the battle now. The battle before was your mind and the darkness that was in your mind that had gotten into your soul and had darkened your heart, and your flesh responded to what went in here and what got here, and that was the acts that you did. Whether it was murder, whether it was thievery, whether it was adultery, whether whatever it was, it came because it got into here, and what got into here got here. Now you know what Paul is talking about when he's talking about walking by the Spirit. The Spirit comes in now, it lights this up, it lights up the soul, and now the flesh responds because you have the Spirit in you. That's walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Right? Throw your book down for about a month. Probably won't take that long. Right? Quit studying. Quit reading. Quit being informed with God's Spirit according to the Word of God. And what's going to happen? You're going to start respond like that old dead guy. See, when Paul says to be carnally minded is death, that's what he's talking about. You didn't die physically, right? No. What it means is when you live this, go back to this. Oh, by the way, let me say something right there. Folks, that don't have to be barroom. That don't have to be out here tearing up the earth. What that could be is your religious mind said, hey, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to get the law and I'm going to do that thing. That's fleshly minded. You're trying to correct yourself by something that God said was weak. Right? He said it was weak, and it was weak what? Through the flesh. Most people are trying to fix themselves how? By the law. The prescribed medicine for you to fix yourself is through the Spirit and by the Spirit. Take this in on a daily. Study the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Rightly divide the Word of God. That gets here. The light comes on. And that will propel you in motion to do what God's doing. Right? People don't get it. They don't get that teaching. What they get is quit wearing long hair and quit wearing ear bobs and take off the lipstick and dress a certain way. Come on, man. A cow's a cow, right? Bells or no bells. But that's really where people get stuck. They get stuck in a religious mindset to fix themselves. It's not going to happen. And I remember those days how religious I was. Watch here in Galatians chapter 5. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed. That'll look good on camera. That ye be not consumed. Devour one another, take heed, be not consumed one of another. Watch. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Watch the next verse. 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the what? And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. How are you going to stop doing the things that you would? Yeah, right? And you know what the Spirit says? I despise you. You know what the flesh says? Hey, Ickley, I despise you. What's going on? What did you get saved into? You got saved into a war when you got saved. You tell me it's not true, and you're lying. You didn't get separation from discomfort. You got put in a place of discomfort. There was nothing uncomfortable about you living your life the way you wanted to live it, going where you wanted to go, doing what you wanted to do, when you wanted to do it, on your own. There was nothing uncomfortable about that, right? That was fun. And the Bible even says that sin has some pleasure in it for a little while, right? What's uncomfortable is when you got saved and you found out, oh man, there's two of me now and I've got a battle going on inside me. It may not have happened that way for you, but when I got saved, I realized something. I've got a war going on inside of me. I've got something tugging at me. I've got something pulling at me. It wants me to go that way, but I've got something else now that says no, no, right? That's what happened. That's what you got saved into. All this stuff about you got saved and God took all that stuff away from you. You ever heard anybody say that? He took away cigarettes. He took away drinking. He took away this. Well, you just replaced it with something else if that's the case. Amen? God didn't want your cigarettes. God didn't want your beer. God didn't want your wine. God didn't want your whatever. Your bad habits. Okay? If you got a new life, it looks like the Spirit, it's because you got in the book, you buried yourself in study, you started believing, and you started functioning according to the Spirit, not the flesh. That's what happened. Right? I've heard them say before, I went to the altar and laid it on the altar. Yeah. Right? So we don't understand man. That's our problem. Hey, we want to preach the gospel to a dying world. You know what we're preaching? To a dead world. We're preaching to people who don't see how bad off they are without Christ. And the hardest thing to do to get somebody saved is to get them to understand that they're lost. Right? And I'm telling you, my belief, and anybody can argue with me that teaches this, whatever they do, you're not going to have the power of the gospel to work on anybody who doesn't see his need for it. But we go on because we don't know who they are, right? We give it to everybody. Why? Because everybody needs it, right? We're not accountable for who takes it, who believes it, who trusts it, who don't, but we give it to everybody. And what do we tell them? Jesus Christ died for your sins. What does that mean? You're a sinner, right? But this idea of being saved and rotten man over here having no hope without God in the world, and God saves him, now everything's rosy, peachy king, he hasn't sinned since the day he got saved, that's hogwash, right? And the idea, listen to me, that I'm going to run every time I do sin and drop on my face and begin to pray about that sin, that's equally hogwash. That's denial of faith is what that is. That's denying that Jesus Christ has already died, took care of all your sin, buried your sin, did away with your sin. Why don't you look at it the way Jesus is looking at it and say, let me operate according to the Spirit. You know what you want to do? You want to fix your sin by the flesh. You want to come back over here and say, let me do some good to make up for the bad I just did. That's ludicrous. Okay? I've lived under that umbrella all my life until 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I realize there's only one fix for me. That's Jesus Christ in this book. Right? That's Him. Right there. That's the Word of God. Spoken. Written. Living. Amen? I'm completing Him. We have the mind of Christ. Right? In this book. And people denying it because they don't realize how rotten they are. Alright? And all you're going to do when you get religious about this man over here is you're going to fix up the outside. And what did Jesus say to him? On the outside, you're as white sepulchers. Right? But on the inside, you're as dead man bones. That's a large percent of churches today. The outside looks so pretty, man. And the inside's just full of dirt. Right? They've been taking in this stuff right here. They've been taking in the law. They've been taking in all that carnal stuff that they can pump in their mind. And the law itself is spiritual. Okay? So don't think I'm saying that the law is carnal. The law is spiritual. I'm carnal. It's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. And if you're not, then you're better than Paul, right? But I can believe Paul was better than you. Why? God chose him to write the book. He didn't choose you to write the book. He chose you to study what Paul wrote. Amen? Paul said he was carnal, sold under sin. He understood what every man needs to understand, that he was full of darkness. He had no light, and he needed it, right? So when we study the Bible, we go back here and look at the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm going to try my notes now. I could have saved that ink. I hadn't looked at a single one at this point, but we're going to now. Look at Jeremiah 17. Look at verse 9. The heart used to be deceitful. It's not what it says, is it? The heart once was deceitful. It's not what it says, is it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He answers that question in verse 10. And the Lord searched the heart. See that? So, is the heart a good thing in verse 9? So when somebody tells you to be saved, give your wicked heart to the Lord. Is that what the Lord wants from you?
No.
Now, He don't want your wicked heart. Right? What does He want? He wants to give you His life. Right? Accept Jesus. No, be accepted by Jesus. How do you do that? By believing the gospel. We're not accepting Christ. We're believing Christ. He's accepting us on the merits of Christ and His finished cross work, because there's nothing good in us. That's why Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells you that. It's not of yourselves. What out of your wicked heart could ever merit a salvation? Nothing. You understand, this is bad. It's really bad. And that's what Romans is laying out in those first three chapters, is the fall of man and the nature of man. He brings nothing to the table to God to save him, except his faith. That's all he has. Believing on Christ. Look at, go back and look at Genesis 8 and 21. Genesis. Now, one thing that you got to be careful with, when you teach a message like this for about 3 weeks, it's easy for you to walk out of here going, I'm no good, I'm no good, I'm no good. Now listen to me, you're saved, you're in Christ. Right? You're no longer, what he's saying there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 16 and 17, you're no longer viewed by God like that, right? You're now reviewed by God as being in Christ. You're a saint in Christ. You've got value now, right? You're somebody in Christ, not of your own doing, but of the doing of Jesus Christ. So don't leave going, I'm all beat up, I'm no good, I can't do any better. No. That's where we're headed with this. You can do better. You can let the light come in. It's not you doing it, but when the Spirit gets in here, gets into your soul, propels your body into motion to do what God's doing, you've got value now. Now you can offer up your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen? All right? Paul didn't stay defeated in Romans chapter 7, as some people want to make it. Well, I live like I live because I can't do any better. That's not what Paul was saying at all in Romans chapter 7. He's saying that is the binding of a law, that when I try to fix things by the law, I find myself defeated, is what he's saying. But when I work through the Spirit, let the Spirit work through me, now I have life, I've got value, this is functional life, that's functional death. Right? You understand me? Look here at chapter 8. This is God talking about Noah, and he asked Noah to go out and take the clean animals from the ark and offer up on the altar. In verse 21, he said, the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So the Lord is saying from youth, a man's heart is what? It's evil. So we started this thing 3 weeks ago. We talked about darkness. We talk about what's in man. And let me say this, folks. The best person in the world, the law will condemn them. Okay? The worst person in the world, God's grace will save them. Okay? You understand the difference in those two things? They're different as night and day. Okay? The danger of somebody blending law in with grace is to take what's freely given and try to earn it. You're robbing yourself, amen? You can even rob your own salvation. All right, come back with me to Romans. We've got to look here at these two natures again, because you have to understand this. Let me set the table. Some of you folks, I don't know who, and it ain't my business. You came out of religious institutions where men made you doubt whether or not you were saved. And you know how they made you doubt? Because if you still think a certain way, or you still do a certain way, you're not saved. Your works are not the evidence of your salvation. Him being risen and seated at the right hand of God, that's the evidence of your salvation. That's how you know you're saved eternally. You believe that He died for your sins, was buried, raised without them, the justification. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. That's your evidence. Jesus Christ is your evidence, right? He's alive. The only way I can die and go to hell is if Jesus Christ dies and goes to hell. Folks, that's been done. That's over. Okay? You got to see this. So you're never going to be effective doing anything for the Lord as long as you're tripped up on yourself, as long as you're doing this over here. Well, I just wonder. I just had a bad thought. Well, join the club, man. They all do. Oh, that preacher, the pristine suit and the tie, so tight he can barely breathe. Guess what? He has bad thoughts too. If you could only know what he was thinking about you while you were sitting there watching him, it would probably turn you off completely. You'd never go back. I'm not saying I do that. Think about it, man. My preacher don't have bad thoughts. Yeah, right. He's a man. Okay? We're not juicing up sin to say, yeah, it's okay, looks good, do it. And that's not what we're doing at all. We're trying to get you to understand that there's something that God left you here to fight with. Right? It's a spiritual war. All right? Look at Romans chapter 7. I just wonder sometimes, do people enjoy a lie? I think they do. I think some people are desirous to have a man to control them, tell them what to do, when to do it, because why? Now he's responsible. That's not what Paul's teaching you. Every man's going to give an account of himself. You better get your critical thinker on, right? You better get to studying a book for yourself. You better get to reading this thing, understanding who you are in Christ, and take the benefit that He's given you freely to have this life that He's given you to function the way He wants you to function. And don't put yourself under some tutor or governor. It's not needed. Right? These places out here are full of dictators telling you what to wear, what you know, hey man, you don't owe the flesh anything, brother. Right? Count him dead. You got to get this doctrine in your mind or else you're never going to function according to life. Anybody ever get peace when you came to this truth?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Did you get something in here that said, oh man, that's, whoo, I'm glad that burden's lifted. It's all on Him.
Yeah.
Or are you sitting there thinking you still carrying Jesus? Pick up your cross daily. Right? Folks, the cross is a done deal. It's done. Finished. Look here at 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after what man? Yeah. Well, there's one man. One. Now watch this. But I see another law in my members. Right? Warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in what? My members. There's your second man. What do those members make up? That's your body. That's your arms. That's your legs. That's your stinking flesh, isn't it? What's Paul dealing with in that verse? Dealing with the mind, isn't he? What's he saying? He said, I've got an inner man now that says, well, I love the righteousness of God. I'm all about the righteousness of God. And he said, but I got some members out here. I've got this flesh out here. I've got another mind that says, don't want nothing to do with that. Let's do this. Right? If you're saved this morning, that battle is going on in you, man. You're dealing with that spiritual wickedness in high places, fighting against your mind, wanting to take you captive back into those strongholds, right? And to keep you from this glorious light. It's happening in you. You didn't get freed from all that. You got freed from the power of sin. You got freed from the penalty of sin. But let me tell you this, He left you in this body. Did He not? And Paul's fighting with that body, and that's what he's telling you there. Look back over at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. What does that mean? That means your fleshly mind is an enemy against God. Right? When you start to pull in the darkness that we talked about over here, and your mind becomes an enemy of God, the carnal mind is an enemy of God. Doing opposite of what God would have it to do. You understand? Watch what he says. For it is not subject to the law of God. What was Paul struggling with over there? In my inner man delights in the law of God, but in my members, I'm struggling. It's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, he left you in the flesh, but he says you're not in the flesh. What does he mean by that? Something spiritually happened to you, and it created a split personality. Right? There's the spiritual mind now. There's the spiritual man now. There's the inward man after the Spirit. But yet, you still have the flesh that you're walking around in. And Paul said, we have it in earthly vessels, that the power might be of God and not of us. Amen? Watch what he says. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Watch. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors who? To who? Not the flesh. You owe Him nothing. You know, Paul Lucas said it the other day, you don't even owe Him a haircut, right? Watch what he said. To live after the flesh. You're not a debtor to live after this man right here. Right? But it's not automatic like they tell you. It's not automatic. You know when a Christian grows? When he gets into this book. You know how a life changes God's way? When he gets into this book. There's many people who have never been saved who quit doing some things that were bad. Whether it be whatever. They quit doing them. That didn't make them righteous. It didn't make them any more righteous. You understand? All right. So go with me to Romans 3, and then we're going to try to tie all this together here. Man back here, fallen spirit. He fallen. Soul was darkened. The flesh corrupt. The mind corrupt. Why? Because he refused to be thankful for God Almighty. The Bible says when they knew God, they glorified Him not. Isn't it amazing that a man refuses to glorify God, he refuses to acknowledge God, and then he goes out and creates him a God. Yeah. Huh? Isn't that crazy? Hey, I don't want anything to do with God, but let me build me a God. Right? Why do you think that is? Because every man, God put something in him that he could know God if he wanted to know God. He put a light in him, and it might not be nothing but a little ember, but there's something in that man that knows that there is a God. And he takes his mind and he lets the darkness continue to come in to the place to where he says there is no Creator God. We all came from a frog. Tadpole, long and thin. Bullfrog, tail tucked in. Monkey hanging from a tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. They go on and on and on. Right? They got that thing in their mind that there is no God, there's no Creator. But listen, every man's going to stand, and every man's going to bow, and every man's going to confess. Thank God. All that's done. Look here at Romans 3. Paul uses those first three chapters to lay out the declining of man. We looked at the verses about man's heart, man's flesh, man's vanity of mind, the darkness that he pumped into himself when he rejected God. If you reject God, you reject light. Amen? Let me say this, because we are dispensational. You reject what the Apostle Paul preached and taught, you're rejecting light for you. Amen? Oh, amen. Everybody in here should have stood up and said amen on that. You're a dispensational Bible believer, are you? Right? Do you think there's light over here that's going to light your way today like it is here with Paul? No, the light will come on for that once you understand what Paul taught. Amen? God gave you light. And He gave it in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ, to give to the apostle that He gave to you, sent to you, wrote 13 books to you. That's your light. And men everywhere are rejecting it. You're rejecting Jesus Christ when you reject that pen of Paul. Right? Oh, I don't believe Paul in it. Whatever, man. I've read the book. Watch what he says here. It goes on about man. Watch verse 19, 3 and 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Watch this. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You know what the law just told every man? You're guilty. You can lie about it, run from it. You are dead to right guilty. Amen? How can something that makes you guilty free you? No. Something makes you guilty puts you in bondage, doesn't it? A guilty man goes behind bars, right? Watch the verse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. The law was to tell Israel and every man that it was sin. It was wrong. They needed help. They refused it. People are refusing it today. Go talk to them about salvation. Well, I don't really get into that stuff. You know, I'm a good guy. I've got a family. I feed them. I work hard every day. You know, I do good by them. I give them shelter. Fantastic. That's wonderful. What are you going to do about your righteousness that you don't have any? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about your sins? You're going to take them with you and just act like God's okay and you can just go without Christ? What are you going to do about all that? You're going to believe He died for them, took care of them, took them out of the way? You're going to believe that? You're going to receive Him by faith, or you're just going to continue to say, I think I'm okay? You know what? You know what? Solomon said about that man, he's a fool. Because you know what he's doing? He's working to the end of time. And you know what happens? When he dies, somebody else gets what he had. I said, I'm going to spend all mine now. I leave. Ain't nobody getting nothing. If I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I'd sell my truck today. Don't nobody riding around in it, right? Some man. I moved into my house, my wife, and my truck. I'm supposed to be all somewhere in heaven liking all that. I'm against it, really, to be honest with you. Watch this. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Did you see that? But now the righteousness of God without the law. What does that mean? That somewhere before Paul and writing this, the law had something to do with things, didn't it? Huh? But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, what? Of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Now, start to feel better, right? Hey, man, look at this. You 3 weeks you told me about all this dead flesh over here, how bad man is, and God's saying, yep, but now here's the deal. You are no good in the flesh. You are a sinner to the flesh. There's no hope for you in the flesh, but here's what I've done. I put my flesh on the cross for you. Amen? And I can give you my life freely if you'll simply believe on Jesus Christ, because He did all the work. Everything that would take to save your soul for all eternity, Jesus Christ did it. And He's saying, now I'm revealing by the pen that I'm using that Jesus Christ gave me by inspiration of Scripture to write to you, that now you can be saved, you can be free from the law, you can be free from the law of sin and death, you can be set free teetotally by God's grace. That's good news now. You see how it got its power? You got a guy over here that's totally sick, can't do anything for himself, and all of a sudden a doctor shows up and says, hey, I'm Dr. Do-Good, here's your cure, here's your fix. All you got to do is look at me. Believe on me. And man refuses to believe on Christ. No, there's got to be something to do with it, with me. You know why you feel that way? Because you know how rotten you are in the flesh and you want to help yourself. A man's going to get saved when he realizes how bad he is. Right? Watch what he says in 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now I want to finish off. I want to watch this on finishing off here today. Look at 3 and 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Watch 21. But now the righteous God without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of who? Does it say in Jesus or of Jesus? It says of Jesus, right? Of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Watch. Being justified how? Freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in where? Christ Jesus. All right, now look at Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 5 and 1. Romans 5 and 1. See it? All right, go down to 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, that means this man right here had no strength, had no power to get better. Amen? I'm talking about, folks, he didn't have the power to stop sinning. He didn't have the power to turn from his sin. He was without strength. You understand? All that turn from your sin to get saved business, he had no power. You understand? Watch. In due time, Christ died for who? That ungodly man that had no power to get better. See that? All right. So now look down at 5 and 8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet, what? Wait a minute. It didn't say that. Wait, read it again. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were willing to turn from our sin. That's not what it says, is it? It says clearly He died for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Not when we quit sinning, not when we made an oath to God to quit sinning, not when we turned and started doing better. He died when we were yet sinners. You got it? All right. Look down at 5 and 10. For if when we were enemies, what were you? What did the Bible say about the carnal mind? It's an enemy of God. God said, even when your mind was carnal, you were an enemy of mine, I did everything it would take to reconcile you unto myself. See it? Have you gotten better in these passages? For Christ to do what He did you get better? Or did Christ do what He did because this man could not get better? Now you got it, right? So this teaching out here all around about man getting better and getting closer to God and God's going to love him more is fallacy. He's never going to love you more than He did when He put Jesus Christ on the cross to die for your ungodly, sinning, enemy attitude. Amen? So, if I want to know today how much Jesus loves me, is it because I did good? Or do I look back and say, ha, hallelujah, He loves me? Oh, now there's some comfort comes from that, right? I know He loves me because of the cross. I know He saved me because He was buried and raised and ascended back to the Father. My salvation's in that. The love of Christ is in that. The faith of Christ is in that. Don't ever add anything to that around me. Man, I'm telling you right now, I'll spit fire. It's all about Jesus Christ. When you quit thinking, like all the preachers in your life got you to believing, that church and the Bible is about you and your family and your circumstances, and God's just going to bail you out of every bad situation. No, not true. Faith ain't God bailing you out of situations. Faith is you staying right there, your mind and heart fixed on Jesus Christ and all that He did for you. All the work He did. That's faith, man. Right? All this other stuff is pretending. Pretending is not faith. Fake it till I make it. It's about me. But my water hose is broke and God's going to give me a new one. When I get home today, there'll be a fancy reel and a hose on it. I just have the faith to believe that thing. You know, and that's what we get from people, man. Y'all laugh because you know what's true. Chances are you prayed that way one day. You know? Wake up, you know. If I was going to pray anything, man, it'd be that I'd be independently wealthy. Wouldn't have to go back to work tomorrow. Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, pray for me. Amen? We have really, truly have lost the sense of what faith is because of bad preaching and bad teaching. Right? I believe in praying about everything and trying not to worry about everything. But most of the time we do opposite, don't we? We worry about most and pray about little. But what I'm trying to get you to see is who you are, who you were in this flesh, that man cannot help himself. That when you see that God did it all by the operation of God, He did it all, what joy and peace run up the soul with that light. It's the light of the glorious gospel. It's not a me doing anything. It's me believing in the one who did it all. That's not churchianity, man, what they preach. Okay, bring your money, bring this, and bring that. We're here on Jesus Christ. And that's why we don't have but a few. All right? So if all hearts and minds are clear this morning, let us pray. We'll dismiss, answer any questions that you might have. Father, we are so thankful for this day, another day of fellowship, another day to come together over Thy Word and to rightly divide the Word of truth. And we pray that something that was said today would help the hearts and minds of those who watch the video, those that are here, that they might draw comfort and peace and strength from it, edify the body of Christ, and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done and what You've done through, by, and what You've given us in Him freely. We love You for it and thank You for it. And everybody said amen. Tell you what, Kim, hold on 1 second. I want to announce the Bible conference to those who might watch the video. I haven't taken a chance to do that here. I've done it from home a couple times. But for those who haven't heard, having a Bible conference, it'll be May 28th, 29th, and 30th. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday start around 12 o'clock. Saturday start around 12 o'clock. And then Sunday morning, we'll start about 9:30. Guest speakers, David Osteen, Paul Lucas, Marshall Coleman, Daniel Woolsey, Dave Morgan, Robbie Sipes, possibly a preacher out of Paul's church in West Virginia by the name of Corin McCraney. Don't know. Work restrictions may keep him from being here. But anyway, we'll put his name out there because he is on the original list. And I pray in those names that I didn't miss anybody. That I got everybody because I don't have it in front of me like I should. But anybody that can, driving distance, want to come in and be with the conference, please do so. Food, refreshments, preaching, teaching for the whole weekend. So with that being said, now we can turn off the camera. So thank you.